were stressed about keeping heat in the camper. We had propane heater going, and then at night we had to do something because you couldn't leave the propane going without monitoring it. And it was just a lot of trial and error making it work. The humidity was also an issue, too, and it may have played a part in the fact that some of the pieces actually cracked, and that was what I was concerned about the whole time. But it may be a moisture problem rather than a temperature change problem. So that was interesting to hear from the conservators at the museum.
Okay, is this anything that you can fix prior to the exhibit beginning? Or?
Well, two pieces I attempted to fix. I think they're okay. I'm not proud of them, but they're okay. But it was tricky fixing them.
It would take, I cannot see the crack that she fixed, so I think those two pieces are beautiful. And there's a third one that did crack that she's choosing not to show, but the majority of the work traveled safely. And one thing about this show that I love, because we're currently hanging it right now, is that she has a variety of pieces that are wall hung, small pieces, three-dimensional pieces, pieces that feel more painterly, and some more sculpture based, and it's a great grouping and a great variety, and all within this medium of encaustic. So it's really laying out to be a beautiful show. And so the opening is this Friday, and it's 4:30 to 7, and the opening is going to be hosted by the Friends of the Alaska State Museum, and they're going to provide a reception. And then the show will be up until February 28th, which is the last day that the museum's open. So this is one of the two shows we will have that will be open, two of our temporary shows that will be open through the end of the of that exhibit space. So, yeah.
And then everything shuts down, and we do the transport to the new building and move everything around.
Exactly.
Well, I know you're not looking forward to that one, really.
You know, as we've gotten further into the process, things are going smoothly. So we've closed the second floor, but the first floor of the museum is still open, and everything has gone very smoothly. So once we jumped in, it's kind of not as daunting a task as it first seems. So that's great.
Okay, and lastly, Nancy, I'd like you to mention the workshop that's running on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or Jackie, either one of you can do this.
I'll jump in on it.
Okay.
So this Saturday, Nancy's offering a workshop to teach artists how to work with encaustic medium, and that is going to be open for middle school and high school students, and it is a free workshop, and it's 1 to 4 at the museum, and if you call the museum ahead of time and register, you're guaranteed a spot, so I encourage you to do that. But again, this Saturday, 1 to 4, and not very many people can teach you how to work with encaustic paint, so I really encourage students to sign up.
Okay, Nancy Burnham, our artist here for the exhibit, and Jackie Manning, who's the curator of exhibits at the Alaska State Museum, thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 15th of January, 2014. The French playwright and actor and manager Molière, baptized in Paris on this day in 1622. He was born Jean-Baptiste Poquelin to a wealthy family. Father wanted him to go into law, but he took up with a theatrical family, and they formed a troupe and put on comedies, and he adopted the stage name of Molière. They toured the provinces for 13 years, returned to Paris triumphant in 1658 to perform The Amorous Doctor. Molière, though he poked fun at the peasants and bourgeois, was careful to leave the church and the monarchy alone, so he never ran into trouble, enjoyed the patronage of Louis XIV, who was the godfather of Molière's first son, and he always had work. He wrote The School for Wives, Tartuffe, and The Misanthrope, and he collapsed on stage during a performance of Les Malades Imaginaires, The Hypochondriac, in 1673. He finished the performance, died of pulmonary tuberculosis later that night. It's the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., born in Atlanta, 1929, on this day, leader of the civil rights movement committed to nonviolence. It was in 1967, April the 4th, he delivered a speech called Beyond Vietnam, in which he denounced America's involvement in the Vietnam War because it was recruiting poor and minority men to be soldiers and was draining resources away from social programs at home, and because it was an unjust war, he said. He said, a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. He spoke out against the war for the next year and began a poor people's campaign in 1968. And on April the 4th, 1968, 1 year after his first anti-war speech, he was assassinated while he was standing on the balcony of his motel room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where he was leading a protest march in solidarity with garbage workers who were on strike. Here's a poem for today, a poem by Samuel Hazo, entitled Towels. What purpose have they but to rub skin dry by being drawn behind the back, two-handed down the showered spine, or fluffed between the thighs and elsewhere? Yard goods lack what towels proffer in sheer plump tuft. Wadded after use and flung in hampers to be washed, they clump like the tired laundry of men who sweat for a living. Spun dry or spread-eagled to the sun, they teach us what renewal means. Touch them when they're stacked or racked, and what you're touching is abundance in waiting. Imprinted with the names of Hilton or the Ritz, they daub with equal deft the brows of bandits or the breasts of queens. What else did Pilate reach for when he washed his hands of Christ before the multitudes? Even when retired to the afterlife of rags, they still can buff the grills of Chrysler's, Falling Waters windows, or important shoes. However small, it seems they have their part to play. But then, en route from use to uselessness, it's no small asset, ever, to be always good at something. Towels, a poem by Samuel Hazo, from The Song of the Horse, published by Autumn House Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Perseverance Theater is proud to present the world premiere of Rush at Everlasting, a new play by Alaskan playwright Arlisha Jones. This gritty new play follows the past and present of one woman's journey through life and a haunting choice she made along the way. Will the past finally come after her, or will the truth remain buried and never revealed? Come find the answer from this poetic piece of time-shifting hopes, dreams, immortality, and outlaws. Rush at Everlasting opens January 10th and runs through February 2nd. For more information, visit perseverancetheater.org or call 463-TIXS.
Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's 3:22 p.m. here in the capital city, and I'm sitting here with Lindsay Halvick, who is going to talk with us about the Orca Ski Program. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, great. Thanks for having me on. I just was here on the show today. Just want to talk a little bit about our upcoming season at Orca.
Okay. And tell everybody out there listening what the ORCA program stands for, because this is an acronym in the front here. What's ORCA actually stand for?
Yeah, so ORCA stands for Outdoor Recreation and Community Access, and it's a program of Southeast Alaska Independent Living, which a lot of people in town know as SAIL. And so we run recreation services and opportunities for people experiencing disabilities all over Southeast Alaska.
Okay, and the ski program, how did it get developed here in Juneau? Because I know it's been running in the Northeast for a few years, so you can expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so there are adaptive programs all over the country, and the ORCA program actually started about 15 years ago through the Lions Club, then it went to Challenge Alaska, and then was eventually adopted by Southeast Alaska Independent Living about 10 years ago, and we are excited to continue it and just grow it every year, get more and more participants, more and more volunteers, and just get the word out about the opportunities for people experiencing disabilities in this community.
Okay, and there are several different, what would you call them, tracks or capabilities for people depending on their disability, what kind of activities they can pursue at Eagle Crest. So would you go over that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. So we have some people experiencing cognitive disabilities like autism or Down syndrome, and then other people that maybe just have a physical impairment, maybe a spinal cord injury or some sort of injury to one of their limbs. So we offer a lot of different a big spectrum of lessons. Some require adaptive equipment, as you're referring to, maybe a sit ski, such as a
right.
bi-ski or a monoski, or some just require just a little bit more time and patience to get through the beginner progression, the beginner learning stages to kind of get them back on their feet and have that thrill of skiing and snowboarding and being in the mountains.
Yeah, I know that, at this point, how much snow do we actually have up there? So it's been raining like crazy down here. So I'd kind of like to know what's the ski level like and what are we looking at the Eagle Crest ski area right now?
Yeah, well, we've been up there for the last 2 weekends. We started our season on January 4th with the ORCA program. The snow is, you know, growing each and every weekend. It's looking pretty good up there. This last weekend, it was snowing the entire time. So we had a blast, and we're looking forward to a lot more. Even though it's raining in town, a lot of times it's snowing up there. So it's a good time.
What a difference a few hundred feet makes here in elevation. Okay, how did you become interested in the ORCA program?
So I actually came up to Juneau as a volunteer and volunteered for the ORCA program my very first year up here, and I just fell in love with the experiences I had with the participants. I learned a lot from them, and then I also just love sharing my passion for skiing with other people.
Okay, and what opportunities are there for volunteers? I noticed that was on the website for Eagle Crest.
Yeah, so in order to make our program really work and thrive, we do rely on volunteers. A lot of the participants do kind of, I guess, thrive under the one-on-one kind of dynamic that we can provide. And so we are recruiting more and more volunteers each year, and we're having our last volunteer training coming up this coming Saturday, January 18th. And we're looking for alpine skiers, snowboarders, as well as Nordic skiers to come help us out with our program and work with some of our students and help them learn how to ski and snowboard.
Okay. And is there a cost involved for the people that are participating in this?
The participants, yeah, they do sign up for lessons. There is a reduced cost that we do have a great partnership with Eagle Crest that allows us to have reduced costs for some of our participants. As far as volunteer goes, it's actually an exciting program for volunteers because the volunteers get to come get a lift ticket for free the day they're volunteering, but also have the opportunity to earn lift tickets for future use, complimentary lift tickets that they can use, you know, on their own time.
That's a pretty nice benefit because lift tickets are not cheap.
Exactly, yeah. So
especially the day-by-day ones.
Yeah, and Eagle Crest does have pretty cheap lift tickets comparatively
right,
to the rest
yes.
of the country, but it's a great opportunity for both college students and people that just want to accelerate, you know, their own skiing to come up, volunteer, you know, 3 half-days with us, and they're able to earn a lift ticket.
Okay, great. Well, Lindsay, I know I'll be talking with you again a little later in the hour, so thanks again for the information on the ORCA Ski Program.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 3:31 p.m. Welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon. For all our listeners out there, this week's forecast is, you guessed it, rain, punctuated by periods of light and dark. A more detailed forecast later in the show. But right now, I'm here with Kristen Marbury, Deidre Darr, and Joy Will, and they are going to talk about the Dance for the Shrine event that is coming up this Saturday. And welcome all ladies to the studio. And Kristen, go ahead and tell us a little bit about the event.
Yes, we have a really fun event planned this Saturday at 1 o'clock at Mountainside Wellness. Come out and have some fun. We're going to have really fun music, some dancing, and learn a little bit about the new maintenance at the Shrine and try to do our best to contribute to that effort.
Okay, and how did this idea come about? And let's go a little bit more into this.
Yeah, so my business, Mountainside Wellness, I do yoga teacher training through that business. And this past year, we were lucky enough to get to do three retreats at the Shrine. And everybody knows how special and wonderful that facility is and what just amazing energy there is there. And so I got to share that with people from all over the United States coming to study to be yoga teachers. And so I kind of got the idea that I wanted to really help support the effort to refurbish, restore, and renew those facilities out there so that we can keep and continue to share that amazing energy with other people that want to use it.
Okay, and let's get a little bit more into this. Deidre, would you like to chime in?
Well, it is a great offer that Kristen made just the other day, so I'm really excited, and I hope people come out, if only just to come laugh at the executive director, who's Irish, trying to do Zumba. We don't move our upper bodies when we dance. So right now we're trying to do a massive fundraiser for our new septic system. And so this will be great to put some of these funds from this fundraiser on Saturday towards those that big cost to get the new septic system together.
Okay. And what are the tickets looking like or admission looking like?
So this event is free, best price ever. So it's free.
Oh, wow, this is a free thing.
Free.
You know, it's kind of hard to find.
That's right.
Except for
so
walking.
Free, but bring your open hearts and open wallets for donations to the Shrine.
Okay, so it's kind of a pay-as-you-want kind of event.
Exactly.
It's very nice. Hopefully we get a lot of people turn out for it. And Joy, let's get you in here on this.
Well, just come dance. There's no requirements for having done Zumba before. We'll have some basic songs as well as some advanced songs, so it'll be a nice mix for everybody who wants to come out and dance with us, and it'll be a lot of fun. We also have a visiting instructor, Jenny George, who used to teach here in Juneau. She'll be here this weekend to help with it, so come dance with us, and we'd love to see you there.
Only requirement is you have to be okay with laughing. There will be lots and lots of laughing.
Oh, well, hopefully that's an indication of a lot of joy and a great time to be had for those people that are going to attend here. And could you please go over again what times this is running? Because I just got the event as Saturday, but nobody said what time it was.
Yeah, so Saturday at 1, we'll start at Mountainside Wellness. We're in the Arc Decor building downtown. So between 4th and 5th and Golden Harris, right by the cathedral. So we'll start at 1 o'clock, and we'll do a little intro. Deirdre's going to be there and tell us about the effort. So we'll do a little bit of chat, and then we'll do some dancing. As Joy mentioned, she's going to teach. We'll have a few other teachers there as well. And we'll go about an hour for the event. So, yeah.
Okay.
What's the footwear?
Oh, that's a great
yeah,
question.
Footwear.
That's a great question.
We actually request that you wear footwear. Yeah.
Please. Perhaps not bogs or extra tabs.
Yeah, yeah. So we have lots of great storage space for your outside slush that you can leave outside the studio and then bring with you some just athletic shoes, tennis shoes are fine, anything that's supportive on your feet, because this is a cardio format, so you are going to be moving a little bit. Doesn't have to be your biggest workout of the week. You just have to be able to move and have fun. So wear comfortable clothes, and we should come up with a color. What's our theme color?
Pink.
Pink is our theme color. So wear any shade of pink that you have, especially gentlemen. We want to see you come in pink.
Oh, I don't know how well that's going to go. We'll see what winds up showing up there, I guess. Anything else you'd like to add? And again, remind everybody the date and location, time, and everything here.
So this Saturday at 1 o'clock at Mountainside Wellness, you can look us up online, mountainsidewellness.com, in the Arc Decor building downtown, 1 o'clock for about an hour. So I'm just really pleased to be able to offer some community and karma type events at my small fitness studio. And so I really hope everybody comes in just to say hi and do their best to support the Shrine. Saturday at 1 at Mountainside Wellness.
Okay, very good. Ladies, thanks for coming in. And for you dancing queens, I'm going to run some ABBA. Dancing queens. This is Ken Fix. Welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon. It's 3:40 p.m. in the capital city. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. The Eagle Crest Finance Committee will meet Wednesday, January 15th, that's today, at 5:30 in the City Hall Conference Room, room 224. Also, the Eagle Crest Nordic Advisory Group will meet Thursday, January 16th at 6:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers to discuss Nordic issues and plans at Eagle Crest. And we'll be right back.
Alaskans who experience developmental disabilities, traumatic brain injuries, and mental health conditions are important members of the state's workforce, from healthcare facilities and nonprofit organizations to retail stores and restaurants. Alaska Mental Health Trust beneficiaries are succeeding in the workplace. The trust encourages Alaska employers to consider ways in which trust beneficiaries and their unique skills can be good for business. Learn more at mhtrust.org.
This is Bird Note. This bird song seems familiar, intriguing. It's the song of the Eurasian blackbird. Paul McCartney and the rest of the Beatles most certainly grew up hearing Eurasian blackbirds in their home of Liverpool. Eurasian blackbirds are common in the gardens and throughout the countryside in Great Britain. It's no wonder the Beatles chose to weave it into one of their songs. But McCartney wasn't singing about the bird. He was singing about the racial strife in the American South in the 1960s. As he said later, "This was really a song from me to a black woman experiencing these problems in the States. Let me encourage you to keep trying, to keep your faith. There is hope."
Blackbirds singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
It was a trying time, and Sir Paul said later that he saw the song as empowerment.
Blackbird fly, blackbird fly into the line of a dark black night. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
It's 3:43 p.m. on a Juno afternoon. I'm Ken Fix, your host. It's Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. And lastly in the studio here, I've got two ladies from Eagle Crest, Jeffra Clow and Lindsay Halvick. Welcome to the studio. And Lindsay, long time no see. I just talked to you about 20 minutes ago.
And thanks for having me on today, Ken.
Okay, you're welcome. And please tell us what's going on with the Learn to Adapt program.
So we are having Learn to Adapt Day kind of as an expansion of the ORCA program I just explained. It's part of Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month up at Eagle Crest. And Learn to Adapt Day is just going to be on Sunday, January 19th. It's an opportunity for people to come check out the adaptive programming we have up there, come demo some of the equipment like the sit skis, monoski or bi-ski, as well as stand-up outriggers. People can just kind of learn more information and get some hands-on experience if they'd like to volunteer with us, if they'd like to become a participant, or if they just kind of want to find out more about what we do.
Okay. And Jeffra, tell us a little bit about more of what's going on with Eagle Crest, now open for the season.
Yep, we are open for the season. And Learn to Adapt Day is, and like Lindsay said, it's a great opportunity to come up and see what ORCA does, our partnership with ORCA. We work to make Eagle Crest accessible for everybody. And it's all part of Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month, which January is Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month. And we're encouraging everybody to come out and give us a try. If you've never skied or snowboarded, this month is a perfect opportunity to get up there, learn how to ski, learn how to snowboard, Nordic skiing, and you can find out all the information on our Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month programs at skijuno.com. But it's a great time. It's a great way to get up into winter. As we've known, the last couple of days hasn't really been very wintry down here in Juneau, but it's a great way to get up there and explore the winter wonderland that we have up there.
Okay, and would you tell us how Eagle Crest got involved with the ORCA ski program and Learn to Adapt?
Well, we have been partners for many, many years. Lindsay and I have worked together for years. And again, just with our goal of making Eagle Crest accessible for everybody. So the adaptive program works with some of our instructors, also have adaptive training, adaptive certification, and we share resources, and this is the Learn to Adapt Day is a great way to come up and kind of see what it's all about.
Okay, do we have any success stories of people that have been into the program and have really enjoyed it and thrived with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have tons of people that have really both been part of the ORCA program as well as been volunteers that have had many, many successes and built amazing relationships up there. And we're just encouraging people to come check it out. Come try the sit skis they may be seen in the Paralympics or seen Joe Tompkins ski up there and ride down the mountain. They're pretty fun. And we just wanted to give this opportunity for people to find out more.
Okay. You just mentioned the sit skis and the Paralympics. Is there any involvement with the Gateway to Gold initiative that Bodie Miller's running for the Paralympics?
You've just got Lindsay and I off guard because we're not familiar with that program, but now
okay,
we're going to get more.
Yeah, I found out that was September 30th of this last year. Bodie Miller's involved in the Paralympics with the Gateway to Gold initiative.
Oh, that sounds pretty exciting.
It looked like it was.
Yeah, we're going to check into that. And, of course, with this being an Olympic year, we're always just trying to get out there. And I think any time that there's an Olympics, it gives just a little bit more awareness to skiing and snowboarding and adaptive skiing and snowboarding as well. So we're just going to get out there and try and do as much as we can to get everybody up to Eagle Crest.
Okay, do we have anybody here that's training for Olympics? Not on our slopes, I guess.
Nobody currently.
There is a monoskier going from Alyeska Resort in the Challenge Alaska program up there to the Paralympics, but not down here right now, but you never know. We could get someone involved pretty soon and get people trained and out there.
Yep, I think we've got many, many young athletes coming up, both on the disabled side and the able-bodied side. And so you never know. We could see another Hillary Lind or another Joe Tompkins in the very near future.
Okay, and what's the attendance been like so far at Eagle Crest?
You know, it's been a great season. We've had good numbers. Last Saturday was just an amazing day on the mountain, and so many people came up to learn how to ski and snowboard. So I think the awareness of Eagle Crest is there. Certainly, we were out there in the front with Powder Magazine Ski Town Throwdown, and I think the community now recognizes that they have a ski area in their backyard if they didn't know that before. And so we're seeing people come up and decide it's time to learn how to ski and snowboard. And the weather's been warm, a little warmer than we would like to have it, but it makes it a little bit more comfortable when you're trying to learn how to ski and snowboard. So, yeah, our numbers are good, and we're open again Thursday through Monday. Monday is a holiday, and we are open. Somebody asked me that yesterday, if we were open on Martin Luther King Day, and we are. So it's a great time to come up and learn how to ski or snowboard or improve your skills.
Okay, and before we go, would you cover the conditions up there currently and also the lift and trail status for everybody?
Sure, I sure will. Well, we had 6 to 8 inches of new snow at the base as of Monday night. But as we know, the temperatures got a little warmer than we would like to have it, and we did, I'm sorry to say, we did get rain all the way to the top of the mountain. So we'll investigate and see what kind of conditions we have on Thursday, but we did still have 2 inches survive at the day lodge this rain that we've had yesterday and today. It is wet. It's going to be soft, and I looked at the forecast, and they're still forecasting some warm weather for Thursday and Friday, and then thankfully the temperatures will cool off a little bit, and hopefully we'll get back into snow. But everything is going to be open Thursday and Friday. The Porcupine and Hooter chairs will run from 9 to 3:30, and the Ptarmigan chair will run from 9 to 3, and then on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, also the Black Bear chair will be running from 9:30 to 3.
Okay, are any of the advanced slopes open yet?
Oh, yes. Everything is
open
on the mountain.
Okay, great.
We may not have as extensive grooming tomorrow as we normally would just because we want to let the water kind of drain out of the snow a little bit. And you can check our entire grooming report on skijuno.com.
Okay, very good. Anything else you ladies would like to add today?
Nope. Hopefully we'll see you up on the mountain, and it's been a great winter so far, and we're looking forward to the continuation of winter.
Okay, Jeffra, Lindsay, thanks again for joining me on a Juno Afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
involved in dirty sand, and it seems the sun is hiding from the moon. Your daddy told you when you were a girl the kind of things that come to those who wait. So give it a rest, girl. Take a deep breath, girl. Meet me at the base station.
That was Fountains of Wayne there for one little song. And tonight's forecast is calling for rain again with lows around 36 and southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow's forecast is calling for rain again with highs around 41 and southeast winds at 5 to 15 miles an hour. Rain and rain likely is expected all the way through the weekend up till Saturday night, and then we have a chance for some snow with some lows around 31 degrees. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and highs around 36. And Martin Luther King Day is looking like rain likely again with highs around 37. And we'll be right back.
Always wanted to work with wood but don't know how to start? Have an unfinished project at home? Then welcome to the Woodworking We Can Weekend. This Friday evening, January 17th, and Saturday morning, January 18th, at the UAS Technical Education Center downtown. This woodworking workshop for beginners is offered by the University of Alaska Southeast. Students will be introduced to the safe operation of basic hand and power tools for light construction. For questions or to sign up, call 796-6139.
You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. It's 3:55 p.m. KTOO broadcasts on 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on the following translators. In the Valley and the Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens in on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. in Excursion Inlet and Icy Straits, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive K2O on GCI Cable Channel 871, and KRNN can be heard on Digital Channel 872. KXLL can be found on Digital Channel 873. And we're also online at ktoo.org for those people that want to listen live, or you can pick up our recorded broadcasts that also show up within a few hours, so you can actually replay them on the Internet. Thursday at 3 p.m. on KTOO, Shauna Strausser hosts, and we'll find out about Monday's Day of Service. The Alaska String Band will be here with news about their new video. Margie Hamburger and Rod Gardner will be here to highlight Friday's exhibit reception, Ordinary Things and Extraordinary Tales. Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. All that, Writer's Almanac, music, and more on your Thursday Juneau afternoon segment for January 16th.
I'm here today to help make Raleigh-Durham and America a magnet for the good high-tech manufacturing jobs.
The President's plan to boost middle-class employment.
It's Wednesday, January 15th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. President Obama launches a new manufacturing innovation hub. Is that focus in the right place?
A new anti-gay law in Nigeria.